This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Hey, so this morning I've been talking to you about, we've been in this kind of a talk about journey, and today I want to talk to you about a phrase, or I'm going to start the title of our message this morning with simply this phrase. Maybe you've heard it before, simply walk, don't run. Has anybody ever heard that before? Like, you ever had your parents say, walk, don't run, right? And there's always a casualty that follows behind that if you don't listen. You know, I remember it was so adamant. I was that kid that I have scars all over from spending a lot of time in the ER getting stitches. And I don't know why, I was just prone to it. But a lot of it had to do with the fact that I didn't walk, I ran. And I remember one day, just literally my mom, usually you heard that. I said it to my wife this morning. I said, hey, you know, the topic of the sermon this morning is walk, don't run. And she goes, like the pool. I'm like, yes. Because it was a true story for me when I was, one day I was running around the pool and my mom said, walk, don't run. And I didn't listen. And I remember slipping off the edge of the pool and I was turning midair to grab myself. And when I grabbed myself, I came down on the ledge of the pool, hit my chin. Now, remember I told you I had a lot of stitches. This was a double whammy because then I also bit my tongue at the same time. I ended up with stitches in my chin and my tongue. You talk about brutal, right? And you wonder why I look like this today is because I lived on milkshakes. And so, true story. But the idea of walk, don't run. And we've been talking about this journey the last 2 weeks. Like if you were here 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea of here versus there, where we're always here, but we're always looking to there, right? We want to get there. And how many of you know, I said last 2 weeks, but how many know there's a funny thing about when you get to there automatically changes its name to what? Here. So here to there, we talked about that. Last week, we talked about the power of stay. The power of stay and what it means to stay, that you and I need staying power when it comes to the Lord. And so today, journey, if you don't know anything about, if you haven't been around faith, but journey is a common thread, it's a common theme with Christianity. Maybe if you've been in Christianity for a while, you've heard the term many times, like, how's your walk with God? If you've ever, we use terms like, are you walking with the Lord? Or we use another term like, you need a daily walk with God. Like, we talk a lot about walking. We focus a lot in Christianity on pace. And what is your pace with God this morning? Do you run behind him? Do you run in front of him? Or do you walk with him? And I love that Jesus was such a great example for us. He never, how many know when you read the Bible and you look at Jesus, he never seemed to be in a hurry. Like he was never anxious to be there. I think Jesus would have been frustrating to almost all of us in the room. Because we'd have been like, let's go. And he's just like, you know? Like, my southern family comes up to visit me, and they're just slow in the south. Like, nobody moves fast. And like, they get out of the car slow. They walk slow. And I'm like, come on, guys. You know, let's go. Let's get there. To the pace, and Jesus was never in a hurry. In fact, if you read through the Bible closely, you'll never see him, you'll never hear anywhere in the Bible of Jesus running. He's just not running. He's never in a hurry. But rather, he was much, much more intentional. And so today, I want to continue in this idea of speaking into your journey with God. And I want to talk to you about your walk with God. So let me give you a little historical context for today's story we're going to talk about. There were these people in the Bible who were called the Israelites. And these people, God's people, they had been spending 400 years in slavery in Egypt. And now God is finally delivering them out of this slavery, and he delivers them with a walk. He delivers them with like a here versus there destination. And in this story, like they one of the examples is they walk up to this place called the Red Sea. And the Red Sea, as we know, Moses is there, it splits in half, and they walk through it. The Bible doesn't say they run through it, they walk through it. And I don't know about you, but if I'm there and the Red Sea is split and there's not a timer going off, I'm running. Like, I don't want to get caught in the middle of that. I'm running through it. But they walked through the Red Sea and not run. And after they got out of the Red Sea, guess what the Bible says they did? They walked in the desert for 40 years. They walked in the desert for 40 years. They get real upset about this. These people are grumbling and complaining, which is probably Moses, their leader's fault. Because I think he told them about the promise, but he didn't tell them about the process. And if you're taking notes today, you can write this down just as an extra for you. Every promise is connected to a process. Like, it's important you get this. Like, you can't have one without the other. They're connected together. And Moses didn't connect with them about this. And so they grumbled and they complained for 40 years. And so they go 40 years. They're walking in the desert. And so they get to this place that God has provided for them that is referred to in the Bible as the Promised Land. And the moment they get to the Promised Land, they're finally, after 40 years, they're there. And they get to the first city in this Promised Land. And here's where we pick up. Joshua chapter 6, it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. So none went out and none came in. Now, I want you to get this morning, just a little FYI for you. The walls of this city, Jericho, many times we don't realize this, are literally 46 feet high. And not only is there one wall that's 46 feet high, but there was two walls. There was an outer wall and there was an inner wall, right? And there were soldiers on the tops of these walls. So this is a secure city. So now Jericho was securely shut up. And then it goes on and it says this in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands. Now, how many of you know God is funny? Like, God has a sense of humor. Because I would look at that city, and I would look at those walls, and I would look at my army, and you know what I would say? There's no way. There's no way this is going to happen. It was securely shut up. And here's the thing. It's so awesome. It's a situation that when you look at it, you say, man, that's impossible. That's an impossible situation. And God says, see, I've given you the city. In other words, the author is literally trying to create irony to get his point across. He's trying to tell you in one sentence, man, look at this thing. This thing is not just shut up. It's what? Securely shut up. Oh, but see, God's given it into your hands. It was surely shut up, but God's given it to you. It's a situation when you look at it, you say, that's impossible. And God says, see, I've given you the city. In other words, write this down. When we see a wall, how many know God sees a way? When we see a wall, God says, no, I specialize in this. I'll give you a way. When Moses saw the Red Sea, you know what God saw? A green light. When you and I see impossible, God sees more than possible. When you and I see improbable, God sees inevitable. Like, the city was securely shut up. And hear me this morning. I just wonder if there are things in your life where you feel like they are securely shut up in your life right now. And if that's you, let me bring you a word from God today. See, I have given you the city. I've given you the city. So here's God going to give it to them. He goes to verse 3 and he says this, you shall walk around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city once and you shall do this for basically 6 days. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua and if I'm the people, I'm like, serious, God? Like, what do you think I've been doing for the last 40 years? I've been walking. The last 40 years, walking is all we've done. And now I get to the Promised Land, the place you're promising us, and I'm ready to start taking. I'm ready to start living, build some houses, have some kids. I'm ready to start flourishing. And God, you want me to keep walking. Walking around this city. Just keep walking. And look what it goes on. It says, but the seventh day, you will take the land. No, you will walk. The seventh day, you will walk around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets, right? Verse 5, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great... Come on. A great? Come on. I'm trying to get you in the story. Wake up. I'm trying to bring it into you into the story. You need, you're right? The great? All right. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Can I give you a spoiler alert this morning? The city falls. The walls fall. They end up taking over the land, right? But I don't want to talk to you about that. I don't want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about how they got that. In other words, I want to talk to you about basically this topic today of faith to walk in circles. The faith to walk in circles. I wonder if there's anybody in church today who feels like you are going in circles. Just feel like your life is going in circles. Now listen, I've been your pastor. For a while now, and so I think it's important if I've been your pastor that I've been here long enough that I think you should know something about me, and it's time I reveal my criminal history to you. Many don't know this. I don't think my wife Kim even knows this, but I've had a run-in with the law, and I just think that if you're going to follow somebody, you should know everything about them. So it happened when I was 9. Got in the game at a very young age. And I'll tell you exactly what happened. Here's kind of what happened. So I was in school. So here was my school. I'll write in here. Here's my school. And it had a great school and all that. But what was really cool is, right, across from my school was a playground, right? And then right across here to get to the playground was this crosswalk, right? And you had to walk across the crosswalk to get to the school. Maybe you guys have been there before. And so they had this crosswalk and the crosswalk. And I don't know about you, but to exit the school was down here. And to get into the playground, this is a true story, was down here. But to get to the playground every day, I had to go whoosh, whoosh, all the way around to get there. And how many know that doesn't make sense? It just didn't make sense. Like, so one day I was like, forget this, man. Why am I going to go all around when I could just simply go like that and get to the school? So I did it. And that made more sense to me. But unfortunately, right, there was a policeman right here. He's in blue because he's a policeman, right? So there's this policeman. He's right there, and he's waiting there, and I walk across the street, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Playground." And he said, the policeman said, you can't do that. He said, "Do you know that you are breaking the law?" And I'm like, "I didn't know I was breaking the law. I'm 9 years old." And he said, "That's called jaywalking." He said, "If you do that again, you're going to get fined." I'm like, "I'm 9. Like, I have no money. I have toys. I can give you my toy here." You know, even to this day, I still have an issue jaywalking because this has traumatized me for my whole life. It was so true. But this was a faster way. This was a shorter way for me. And here's the problem that we don't think or we don't live as a problem. Like, I went this way straight across because this way didn't make sense. Here's the problem, simply on the screen. How many know sometimes God's way doesn't make sense? God's way just doesn't make sense. This is a sermon for everybody. I don't care what level of faith you're at. We all need to realize this and adopt this, that sometimes God's way doesn't make sense. I wonder if anyone in the room, if God has ever sent you somewhere that doesn't make sense. I wonder if God has ever asked you to do something that doesn't make sense. I wonder if God has ever done something in your life that just doesn't make sense. And if it hasn't happened to you, that just means you haven't been following God long enough. You follow God long enough, you will read something in the Bible and it doesn't make sense. You follow God long enough, you will find yourself in a situation in life that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But here's what I've learned. You follow God long enough, the things that get you frustrated with God in the beginning will leave you in awe of him in the end. Those things that frustrate you to be, they're going to leave you in awe of him in the end. I promise you that. And so like the walls falling down by walking around just doesn't make sense. But how many know it's a different kind of doesn't make sense? Like the first kind of doesn't make sense is like, God, really? Like that frustrate, oh, God, really? That's the first kind of doesn't make sense. But then there's the second kind of doesn't make sense where you're like, wow, God, really? You did that? There's two different times. It's like when a giant came into the camp of Israel. He was a big giant, 9 feet tall, muscular, well put together, trained. That doesn't make sense. That's a problem. Why is this big guy coming after him? He's a freak of nature. But here comes the solution. A little kid with a sling and a stone. How many know that doesn't make sense? But the kid wins. And we go, wow, God, that doesn't make sense. But that's amazing. Because sometimes in life you will experience a victory. Sometimes in life you'll experience a blessing that just doesn't make sense. The problem you had was bigger than your resources. The problem you had was bigger than your know-how. And have you ever looked back at your victories? Have you ever looked back at your blessings that you've had in your life? But you look at it from a third-person perspective, and you're like, man, with the resources you had, with the know-how that you had, there should have been no way. But with the size of the problems that you're walking through, with the size of your resources, it just doesn't make sense. Like with the money I had, this shouldn't have happened. Like with the family that I've been have, it shouldn't have happened. With the upbringing that I've had in my life, this should never happen. With the mess that my life was in, this should not have happened. With the diagnosis that I received, it just shouldn't have happened. How is it possible? It doesn't make sense. But sometimes you will experience a victory and you'll experience a blessing of God. And when you look back, you're going to go, how in the world did that make sense? How did that happen? And it didn't make sense when God, it didn't make sense when God sent Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. It just didn't make sense. This was a city filled of wicked, wicked sinners. In fact, a lot of these people, some of these Ninevites had actually killed people who were part of Jonah's family. Hear me this morning. But you know what else doesn't make sense about God? His mercy. His mercy. I just wonder if there's anyone in the room today who's living in a mercy that doesn't make sense. Like when you look at your life and all the choices that you made, when you look at your life and all the bad decisions that you had, and you're here today, his mercy doesn't make sense. Like if there's a sinner at church today who should be in a different place for all the choices and decisions you made, but somehow you're still breathing, there's still breath in your lungs. Somehow you've got a relationship with God. It doesn't make sense because God's mercy doesn't make sense. How many know Jesus was in the grave? It doesn't make sense. Like that Jesus would die. How many know he was perfect? Like completely perfect, and yet he died. How in the world does a perfect person die for somebody else's mistakes? That doesn't make sense to me. But 3 days later, when the sins of the world were eradicated, on a Sunday Easter morning, how many know it all of a sudden made sense? Here's the takeaway today, simply on the screen. It never makes sense in the beginning, but God always makes sense in the end. Never makes sense in the beginning, but it always makes sense in the end. And we can also say, how many know, we can also say it doesn't make sense in the middle. Like the middle doesn't make sense. But how many of you serve a God, if you serve God long enough, you will see it in the end that it all makes sense. The problem is not that it doesn't make sense. The problem is when God doesn't make sense, get this, we try to do what we think makes sense. When God doesn't make sense, we try to do what we think makes sense, aka, guess what? We do it our way. We do it our way. And that's a real problem. Not that God doesn't make sense, but that we try to make sense of it when it doesn't make sense. And we do it our way. And how many know our way is not a good way? It's not a good way. Because God's got a plan, and we've got to follow that plan. For example, right? Like we want to live life. We want to live life. I'll do life my way. God's, I've got this breath in my lungs. I got the world around me, and it tells me to live life and do things my way. And I want to do life my way, and I want to do all this stuff. But how many know God's created a thing for your life called holiness? He's called to create a thing for your life called holiness. And we just say, well, you know what? How many, that's just too long to do all that. That's just too long. It's too much work to do holiness. Like, that means I got to do certain things and don't do certain things. I have to carve out time for God and pray and go to church and read the Bible and say no to things and say yes to things. I mean, how many know that's just too long? It's much easier if I just do it my way. It's too long away. It's easier to go to live life my way. It's easier to live the world's way. How about this one? Like sometimes, just another one, like we want to gain wealth. Like, right? Isn't that the American dream, is that you have more than enough? That you live your life, you have wealth, and you're gained all that. And so what do, man? We work 60, 70 hours a week. Like, we put all our time in. We do all these things. We put money in. We do everything for ourselves. If we could just gather and keep it to ourselves. And how many know God's like, well, I want you to have wealth, but I also want you, I've created this crosswalk called balance. Balance. Like, and you're like, well, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to tithe? I mean, that's just too much. Isn't it my money anyway? Like, why would I want to, like, to work so hard just to, you know, give it all away? And isn't it all about me and my wealth? And, like, don't I want to just create, like, this secure life for myself that when I get old, I can live on a beach with a pina colada? I mean, isn't that the way life is supposed to be? But how many know we just think, well, there's got to be a better way to wealth? And the problem is that this is, if you don't do these things, you know, here's what happens, right? God's created the crosswalk for a reason. The crosswalk provides something for you that the shortcut doesn't provide. And you know what that is? The crosswalk provides safety. The crosswalk provides safety. You will find safety in provision and protection. How many know when you do things God's way? But when you go your own way, guess what you do? You forfeit it all. Like wealth may seem like a good thing. Wealth might seem like a good thing, but at the cost of your health, at the cost of your family, at the cost of your friends and your relationships, at the cost of truly knowing your children, and really at the cost of seeing God's hand of provision operating in your life. Living your life your way, sure, that may be really easy. It may be the easy way. It may seem like the good idea, but hear me. Living life your way will be at the cost of your happiness, your peace, your joy, and eternal life. So you can go your way, but here's what the Bible says about your way. Proverbs chapter 14, there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it's the way to death. In other words, our way makes sense, but it leads to death in the end. God's way doesn't make sense, but in the end, it leads to life. So what you got to do is you got to say, hey, you and I got to get to a place where we say, well, you know what? Even though it doesn't make sense, I just keep circling. I keep walking. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I just keep walking. Are you following me? What do we got? What's this? It's a circle. It's called a circle. And you know why it's different than like this is a square and this is a triangle? You know why it's different? Just, I'm helping you out if you didn't make it through kindergarten. So you know why it's different? There's difference between a circle and these other shapes. A square has 4 points. A triangle has 3 points. A circle has no point. A circle has no point. I wonder if you're in a season of life that just says, I have no point. I just have no point. Like, you're in it, but you can't figure out why you're in it, because you can't see the end of it, and it just doesn't make sense. There's no point, because you keep doing the same things. You're just walking in the circle, and nothing's happening. Nothing new seems to be happening, and you're just in this circle. Nothing's changing for you, and you're just walking in this circle. And if that's you, let me encourage you, that was Joshua. If that's you, that was the people, God's people, the Israelites. Look what it says in Joshua 8. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people, he had the ark of the Lord. Do what? Circle. Circle the city, going around it once. Next verse. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And the second day they walked in a circle around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did this for 6 days. For 6 days, they got up, walked to the city, did a circle. Nothing happened, went home, got up, did a circle. Nothing happened, went home, got up, did a circle. Like, think about this. Can you imagine the conversations these soldiers had with their wives when they got home? Like, you leave at 7 a.m., you come back, and your wife says, baby, what happened today? And you're like, well, we went out and we thought we were going to take it, and we walked in a circle. And then she's like, well, what happened? Nothing. Joshua said, be quiet, and then he sent us home. But I'm sure tomorrow is going to be the day. So they come back home on day two. Hey, honey, was it the day? Did you take the land? How'd it go? Well, we got up there, and we were all real excited. And Joshua had us in a line. We all lined up, and we walked in a circle. Then what happened? Nothing. We came home. Can I tell you, listen, we hate circles because we live in them, right? Like we live in circles. Like, you come to church. Let's say this is church. And you give your heart to the Lord, you know, here's a cross, you're like, man, I'm all for God, and I'm going to do it. And guess what you do? You start moving in your circle, and you get involved in the church. Hey, I'm going to give. I'm going to start giving to the church. I'm going to start serving the church. Then you say, well, I'm going to get involved in a small group. Like, I'm really going after this thing. And then you get in your circle, and guess what? You sin. You're like, oh, no, I got to get saved again, which you really don't have to, but... And then you start on the cycle again, right? Like, oh, gosh, Lord, I'm going to get involved in church. I give my life to Jesus again. I'm going to join a small group, get involved in a small group. And then, oh, gosh, I sin again. I got saved 18 times before I turned 18 years old. Because you just live in that circle, right? You're just constantly going in the circle back and forth. How about this one? Like, you're married, right? And your spouse, and you get married. But you have problems. You get in a fight. So what you do, you know, you work down your circle and you get some help. Maybe you talk to somebody and they give you some help, and then you start working on some tools, and you're doing some things. You're working on a circle, and the help tells you, hey, you make up, right? And then you say, hey, to get better, go on vacation together. And you go on vacation together. While you're on vacation, you get in a fight. Guess what? You're back up here again. You got to go see some help. They tell you do this. You go, okay, do this. You come down here, you make up, and the makeup says, go on a vacation again. And guess what you do? You get in a fight. And the circle keeps going and going and going, right? And you know why they don't call, why we don't like circles? Because we think circles feel like cycles. And some of you in this room are caught in a cycle. Some of you are caught in a cycle of addiction. Some of you are caught in a cycle of depression and anxiety. Some of you are caught in a cycle of bad relationships. Some of you are caught in a cycle of doubt. Some of you are caught in a cycle of we're hot and we're cold. Some of you are caught in a cycle of uncommitted. And notice I didn't say God wants you to have the faith to stay in your cycle. God wants you to have the faith to walk in your circle. A circle is different than a cycle. And here's the good news. It'll be on the screen. God hates cycles. Here's the bad news. God loves circles. In fact, circles is his favorite shape. I know it. I have firsthand knowledge. You know how I know it? I'll prove it to you. When he said, let there be light, out came a circle. Bright as the sun. When he created the planets, out came a what? A circle. The earth, Mars, Saturn. The planets are circles. These planets begin to move around the sun in a circle. To govern the night, he created the moon that began to move around the earth in a circle. When he inhabited the earth with people and animals and fish and birds, all who at the smallest biological level is created by a cell, which happens to be in the shape of a circle. God loves circles. But you know how I really know God really loves circles? Because of the story of Joshua and Jericho. Because hear me this morning, if you've never thought this, read your Bible closely. Because there is not one verse about the battle. Not one verse about the battle. Like if I was going to write a movie about this, and you and I are the director of the next big Christian movie that's coming out, it's called Jericho, all right? And in this movie, you've got to pick one scene to give all your budget money to. And of course, I would think all of us would spend all of our money on the fight scene. Like every movie that has a conflict, the biggest climax of the movie is always the battle. Like, did you know in the story of Jericho, there's not one verse that describes the battle? Not one. How many know, I think the battle is just a given. Even more important to that is I think the victory is just a given. Even the walls falling only have 1.5 verses on the walls falling. Like you would think that would be where all the energy, all this focus is on the walls that fell down, celebrating, clapping hands. So the climax of this story isn't even the falling. The climax of the story isn't the battle. The only thing that the director is focused on when talking about this story is the walking. Is the walking. As if the walking is the most exciting part. And how many this morning, thinking about your life, what if the most boring part of your movie is the most exciting part for God? The most boring part of your life is the most exciting part for God. Like imagine the story of Jericho is being played out like a movie. Give me some latitude this morning. What if the story is being played out like a movie and the angels are watching? Let's just pretend. What do you think, I brought my popcorn today. When do you think the angels would pull the popcorn out and when would they put it away? Like, I think they would put the popcorn away when the fight started. Why? Because in all of the history of them being angels, they've never seen God lose a battle. They've never seen God lose a battle. So when the fight scene started, they'd be like, oh, yeah, we've already seen this episode before. Put the popcorn away. We've already seen this happen before. So when the battle started, they'd be like, well, put the popcorn away, guys. We saw this in Egypt. It's old news. Like, we saw this with Abraham. Like, we saw this in Jacob's life. Like, go ahead and put the popcorn away, y'all. But here's when they would pull the popcorn out. Day one of the walk. Why? Hear me, swim. Here's why they would pull it out on the screen. How many know God's victory is guaranteed? Our obedience is not. That's the exciting part. God's victory is guaranteed, but our obedience is not. So the story of heaven is not will or will not God win. The story of heaven is will you or won't you follow? That's not the story of God's win. The story is will you win? Will you follow? Will you or won't you follow? The most exciting part about the story is the angels get the popcorn out and they're like, day one. Eating the popcorn. Shh, this is the part. This is the part he tells them what they're all going to do. They're just going to walk. Shh, Gabriel, shh, be quiet. I know you're the messenger, but be quiet. This is the good part. Like, wonder what's going to happen. Oh, look, they're walking. I wonder what they do what are they going to do when nothing happens? When they see nothing happens? Day one, wow, they did it. Guys, can you believe it? They had the faith to keep walking. Hear me this morning. Faith is what heaven is looking for in your life. Not perfection, but faith to keep moving, to keep going, to keep walking. And that was just episode one. But they gather again because guess what? There's an episode two. They get the popcorn out. Let's see if they'll follow on day two. Like he did it again. Joshua told them, here's what we're going to do. Walk. Just going to walk in a circle. And how many know this goes on for a day three, a day four, an episode five, and episode six. Then episode seven. They probably get together and think, will anyone show up? It's been 6 days of them walking in circles. I bet you they're getting tired by now. I wonder if they're going to show up. And they're excited. Imagine the plot of the story. And they're like, whoa, wow. They're all here. They followed God the whole way, the whole time. They kept walking in circles, even when it didn't make sense, even when everyone else said this was probably stupid. They kept doing. And they followed through. And then they probably put the popcorn away because you know what God's going to do. Yeah, that's the boring part. Listen to me this morning. The fight is never the fight. The fight is never the fight. We make it about the fight. The fight is not the fight. Listen to me. The challenge in life is not finding the strength to fight against the enemy in your life. That's not it. Finding the strength to fight against the enemy in life. Hear me. You know what the challenge is? It's finding the courage to follow God's word in the face of the enemy. To say, I'm going to keep going when everything else seems to not be going for me. Let me ask you something. What's the hardest part in the victory? Getting the victory or trusting God for the victory the whole time? Trusting God when you're just walking in circles. That's when the true victory is really won. It was not the fighting in this story. We make it about that, but it's not the fighting. You know what it was? Man, it was the walking. It was the walking is the true thing about this story. Because in the walking, guess what? In your walking and my walking is obedience. In my walking and your walking is trusting God. In my walking and your walking is believing him even when it doesn't make sense. In our walking is saying, like, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm just going to keep walking until God brings me the victory. I just keep walking. God hates cycles, but he loves circles. I just believe that God is the cycle breaker and the circle maker. And that's what he'll do for your life. In fact, I wrote it down this way. I think God is going to use the circle to break the cycle. It's going to use the circle to break the cycle. And maybe you have a cycle in your family. And I'm just encouraging you to just start walking. You have a cycle in your family where no one is serving God. It's hopeless for me. No one in my family has ever decided to follow God. But I'm just going to keep walking and I'm going to proclaim just like scripture says, you know what? As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And you know what? As you just walk and you just walk, guess what's going to happen? The cycle's going to break in your family. Like maybe you're here today and you're like, man, my life just doesn't make sense. I've been going through such a tough time. I can't make decisions. I feel like everything is against me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep walking in circles. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my strength. He is my help. He is my source. And him, I'm going to trust. And you know what you do is you just keep walking for the Lord. The cycles and the walls break and they come down. Like, I will trust you, God, in the darkest times of my life. And man, I'm going to make a circle around God's promises in my life. How many know this morning, we worship not for what God will do. We worship him for what he has done. We don't worship him for what he do. We worship him for what he's done. And so I'm going to serve God and I'm going to keep walking. And even when it doesn't make sense, you know what I do? I worship you, Lord. I exalt you. I give you praise, not because of what you can do for me, but what you have done for me. And as I keep walking and I'm committed and I'm obedient and all those things, guess what's going to happen in your life? The walls are going to come down. The cycles are going to break. Even when you walk through it, when it doesn't make sense. I want you to hear me this morning. I know it feels like walking is a waste of time, but I'm going to encourage you this morning. Your walking is a weapon against the enemy. Man, your fervence, your obedience, your trusting, your believing is a weapon against the enemy. It's a weapon to tear down the walls that have been plaguing your life for so many years. And when you walk, even when it doesn't make sense, guess what? Your walking is a weapon that worships. It's a weapon that worships. Because hear me this morning, because if I'm walking for something, it's because I want it for me. If I'm just walking because I want something, I want it for me. But how many know, but when I'm walking just because God said walk, that's worship because it's for him. I'm just walking because he told me to. It's for him. Just because you said so, God, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep believing. Just because you said so, God, I'm going to keep worshiping. Just because you said so, God, I'm going to keep giving. Just because you said so, God, I'm not going to lose heart. Just because you said so, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to do all the things you want me to do just because you said so. Just because you said so. I'm going to keep walking with you and for you. And maybe you've had a stronghold in your life this morning. Could be your past, could be your present, could be the habits you're in now, could be the beliefs that you have now. I think God today is ready to bring the walls down if you're ready to walk. If you're ready to walk, he's ready to bring the walls down. Would you stand with me this morning? And all across this room, some of you may say, well, Pastor, you're in the room. And some of you may say, well, Pastor, I've been walking for years. You may look at me and just say, hey, I hear the message today, Pastor. But I've been walking for years. You know what I say to you? Okay, will you keep walking? Will you keep walking? Some of you are in a cycle today because of you have made yourself the center of your life. Like, God, I'm the center of my life. And you know what the difference between a cycle and a circle is? They sound the same, but there's a difference. The difference between a cycle and a center is whoever is at the center. Whoever's at the center. And if you are at the center of your life, you are stuck in a cycle. But if God is the center of your life, guess what you're doing? Walking in a circle. And I just want to encourage us for our church as we move forward, CLC, this is our opportunity to place Jesus at the center. Let him be the center of everything we do. Let him be the center of our walk. Let him be the center of everything that doesn't make sense in our lives. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, I just come before you today. We just welcome you into this place as you've been here. And we say, Lord, help us today to walk when things don't make sense, when life doesn't make sense, when faith doesn't make sense, when even you, God, don't make sense. We continue to walk. When the shortcut would be the easy way, we continue to say, God, no, you've created a way. And I'm going to walk your way. I'm going to walk out your dreams for my life. I'm going to walk out your purposes for my life. And I'm going to continue to walk and allow you, God, to be the center of it all. And this morning, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I want to say this. Maybe you're in the room today and you've heard this me talk today. And you need to be that person that just needs to get out of yourself and put Jesus at the center of your life. Like, maybe you've been the center for so long, and now it's time to put Jesus at the center of your life. And you would say this morning, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. If that's you this morning, you say, listen, I'm the center. I'm the center, and I want to make Jesus the center of my life. I want to give my life to him. Man, we're not going to embarrass you right where you are right now. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. No one's looking around, but this is your moment to make this statement to God. God, I want you at the center. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and put it back down again, just so I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. It's your opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on. I see that. Thank you. This is it. I want to make you the center, God. We don't normally do this at CLC, but let's do this together. Can we pray this word together, this sermon, this prayer together? Repeat after me. Just say, Father God, I make you the center. Lord, help me to follow you, to trust you, to lean on you, to be obedient to you. Today, Father, I make you the center, and I give you all of my heart, all of my life. I invite you, God, to break the cycle in my life, and I'm willing to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Don't move anywhere. If you're getting baptized today, you guys can go ahead and make your way. Listen, I want to speak to my Christians just for a second. If you're a Christian in the room and you feel like nothing's changing, like you just feel like your life, you just keep walking. Listen to me. I want to encourage you, my Christian friends. Your walking is not what you get out of it. Your walking is submitting and surrendering to God. It's worship. It's a given today. I want to tell you this, Christian friends. It's a given. God will win. It's a given. You will win. That's not the question, whether God will win or whether you will win. The question is, will you keep walking? Will you keep walking? And I want to encourage you, we're getting ready to sing in a minute, but if that's you, if you're saying, God, I'm willing to submit to you, I'm willing to surrender to you, I'm going to keep walking with you. Hey, can we do something together if you feel comfortable? Can we lift our hands? It's a world sign of surrender. But if you're willing, would you surrender to God? Let's lift our hands to him and let's just worship him for a moment before we switch into baptism. God, I'm willing to make you the center. I'm willing to keep walking. I surrender to you. I will keep walking with you, God. Come on, let's worship him together.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I want to make this invitation. If you're here today and you want to be baptized, we do this at every baptismal service. Maybe you came here not prepared, but you heard this message. You're like, I want to get baptized. I want to make this sign of baptism of I'm dying to myself, being raised with God. You can still be baptized. We have extra shorts, clothes, shirts, towels. We come prepared here at CLC. So if you want to be baptized today, all you do is right in the back of this back corner back here. There's a man that'd love to meet you. His name's Mark. Right in this back corner. If you just walk that way, he'll direct you where to go. But if you want to be baptized today, in just a moment, you can move out of your seat, head back that way, and we'll get you to the right place. But Lord, let me just come before you today. We thank you for this opportunity to be together. You're a good God, and we thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, I just ask God that, Lord, that your hand would be upon this just quick part of our service where we celebrate men and women who said, Lord, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make it public. I want everyone to know about it. And so, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have to be in this place. And Lord, help us to walk, not to run, but to walk with you in every area of our life, especially when it doesn't make sense. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen, amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. You can be seated for a moment if you want. And we have our prayer corner over here. I'm going to ask these guys, our workers, to stay there. As soon as we say amen today, our worship team is going to lead us in a song. If you want prayer today, personal prayer, we have a team that over here that would love to pray with you. Maybe you're walking through a difficult time. These guys want to pray with you. So they'll be over here in a moment after we baptize. But we're going to baptize some people today. We're excited about this. And I always do this when we talk about baptism, but just to give you some context, baptism is a time we as a church believe, you know, once you give your heart to the Lord, it's another step in telling the Lord that you're all for him. Now, baptism is not an issue of whether you go to heaven or not. It's just simply of saying, hey, listen, I'm going to take this next step of obedience, and I want the Lord to know, I want my family to know, I want my church to know that I'm willing to die to myself and be raised new with him. Another way I describe sometimes baptism is like it's taking a spiritual bath. Like, you know, like you just, like if you're at junior high camp, everyone needs a bath, right? So, but this is the opportunity to say, hey, listen, I'm cleaning off the old me and being raised a new me. It's just a symbolic thing. And Jesus actually did this himself. And this is what we pray every baptism service, right? Is Jesus in Luke, we find that he's baptized. He's by John the Baptist. And when he's baptized, the first thing you need to know is this was the mark after his baptism was the mark of his ministry. Like it propelled him to a whole new life. And that's what we pray for every person that comes in this tank, that from this moment, it's not just getting wet, getting dunked, but this moment propels them to a new relationship with God. And we know that when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that a dove, the Holy Spirit as a dove descended on him. And I say this all the time, but we love to paint the beautiful picture of this, right? Dove flying on Jesus. The reality is that the true meaning of that, it was like an F-16 hit him. I mean, it was boom. And right after that, he gets baptized. He goes to the temple. He opens the scroll of Isaiah. He reads it and he says, it's a prophecy of the Messiah. He's prophesying that he's the guy. And all these religious teachers that have known Jesus his whole life when he was even a little boy going to the temple, you know what they say? Is this Jesus? Like, what? Is this was Jesus? Like, there was a marked change in his life. And that's what we believe for baptism today, that it will be a marked change in some people's lives today. So we're excited today. So I'm going to invite our first person to come. I don't even know. It's behind the curtain. Who's coming out? So this is Sammy. All right. We love Sammy. Hop in there. I'm going to help you out. How's it feel? Not bad. Could be better. Oh yeah, you can sit down. Sit up. Yep, crisscross applesauce. You know what that is? Remember that? From school? I need a microphone. And this is my friend Sammy. And I've gotten to know Sammy a lot. How long have you been coming here? I can't remember.
Almost a year.
Almost a year, right? And they sit over here. Love them. They're awesome. I say them because there's like a group of friends that come together. But this is Sammy, and we're excited to baptize Sammy today. And you okay with me asking you, why are you doing this today?
I just feel like it's just about time. Mm-hmm. I've been following Jesus for 2 years. And I'm just ready.
It's ready. Come on. There's no better way to say I'm ready, right? And so I'm so excited. I'll just say this last thing. I know you're cold, but she's such a gem of light. And what I love about you, Sammy, is like I can walk in on any Sunday they sit here and she gives me a smile. I'm like, I don't know if she's ever in a bad mood, but I don't want to see that side of you. But she just seems like the joy of the Lord is all about her. And that's an awesome thing. I believe God's going to take you a long ways. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to have you scoop just a little more so I don't bunk your head. I'm going to have you do this and then your hand goes right there. That way I'm not going to drop you. I promise. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just pray for Sammy today. I thank you, God, that she has said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. And so, Lord, I just pray you'll honor her today. That, God, this will be a marked change in her life, oh God. That, God, you have new things, great things for her life. And that, God, this is not just a one-off, but, Lord, you have incredible things you're going to do through her. And so I pray that over her life. May you protect her. May she hear you leading her and guiding her in every way. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, Sammy, on the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You're awesome. I'm so proud of you. Amen. Next. Who's next? Oh, Lauren. This is Lauren. Come on, let's give it up for Lauren. Yeah, so we talked to Lauren, and she doesn't like me. So no, I'm just joking. She likes me. But Rachel's going to baptize Lauren today. And Lauren wanted Rachel to baptize her. And so we're going to take opportunity and have at it.
Yeah, so come on up. You can face them. So this is Lauren. She's one of our amazing youth students. I first met Lauren. She was in sixth grade, right, going into seventh grade. And now I talked to her today, and she's going into her freshman year.
Wow.
I don't know who's old, you or me. Right? So Lauren texted me. We were in the middle of camp, and I just got a text from, you know, this number, and she said, "Hey, I want to get baptized." And I said, "That's great. We have baptisms on Sunday. You want to do that?" She goes, "Okay." So I'm going to let her tell you a little bit. Why are you choosing to get baptized today?
Just to bring God with everything I do.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, Lauren, one of the Lauren. She had this awesome quality. She's just a go-getter. Like, she is just someone, not only is she super involved with just everything. I was talking to her today. She just finished softball. She's getting ready to cheer. She's got a cow at the fair, so you should go see her cow.
What's the cow's name?
Jackpot.
Because she's going to get a lot of money. That's why she's calling it Jackpot.
But not only does she do those things, but she still chooses Jesus every single day. So, Lauren, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to have you put this hand on your nose. Can you put this hand here? And then, okay.
Oh, yeah, you need a mic. Here, I'll hold it.
Okay. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray right now over Lauren, God. We know that you have amazing plans for her life, God. Plans that don't need to wait to start, but start right now, Father. So, Lord, would you just continue to guide her? Would your light just continue to shine? Ready to go into her freshman year of high school, God, would you use her as your light and as your vessel to speak life to all the students in that student, Lord, to speak life into her family, life into her community, Father God. Lord, we just know that you have amazing plans for her, so we pray that you would just bless her in Jesus' name. So, Lauren, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lauren should be right at home. She got baptized in a cow trough. Okay, so, all right. This is my friend Delaney. Come on, Delaney. It's cold, right? Yes. And this is Delaney, and her and Sammy. That's why I kept saying them. They're friends, and they come to church together. And I got to sit with Delaney last week, talk a little bit about her story, and I was kind of taken back because I thought I had an idea of her story that I didn't know. And I just want to say something to you as a church. So Delaney, I think, is the power of the invite. Because I'm thinking, man, she was raised in church. She's like, no, it was like 2 years ago that I found Christ. And she found it because one of them at our church, her name is Addie Glidewell, invited her to a girls' ladies' Bible study called Delight. And they didn't even know what they were getting into, man. Addie faked them out, right? They didn't know what they were getting into. And they walked into this thing. And she told me, she's like, well, we were like, we didn't know it was Christian. And I think you said maybe they won a gift card. So they're like, we have to come back because we won a gift card. And, but through the power of invite, they're here today. I just want to say that to you. There's power in the invite. You invite someone to church, you invite someone, and they find Jesus. And that's why Delaney's here today. And so excited to see your walk. I love watching you and Sammy and your friends, just to see how you guys have grown and grown closer to the Lord. And I believe the future is bright. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. Tell us why you're here today. Yes, ready to live for Jesus, right? And that's what it's all about, right? So I'm so excited to pray for you and baptize you today. If you want to scoot just a little bit further, that way I won't bump your head. You're good. I know it's cold. Amen. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, I just pray over my friend Delaney. I lift her up to you, Jesus. Lord, I know that the plans you have for her are great, to prosper her, not to harm her, but to do incredible things in her life. And so, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would shine your presence upon her life. Guide her and lead her. Keep her safe. Watch over her. And Lord, let this be the beginning of the many, many things that you want to accomplish through her. And so, Lord, we pray that today, that God, this would not just be an action, but Lord, this would be a propelling to what you want to do through her and with her in your powerful name. Amen. So Delaney, in the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oops, sorry. Is that it? One more. Okay. Awesome. Let's do it. We have a walk-up.
You have to wait.
Okay. I have to wait.
Kevin wants to get baptized.
Kevin DeRosa?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got somebody else who wants to get baptized. You want to lead us in a song? Real quick. Hang with us, right? It's worth it.
Shout Jesus from mountains. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. Yes, we're gonna shout Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn.
All right. We have Kevin. Come on. Come on. So Kevin is, I was just about to say this morning when he did the announcements, I was like, Kevin's about to leave us in a few weeks and go to Canvas College where he's going to study for ministry. And so he's going to be leaving us for a little while. We're kind of sad about that. We don't know what we're going to do. So pray if you have a worship skill. Talk to Pastor Samuel. We need players and people. So, but I'm excited. Kevin, while you're here today, I love you, man. Appreciate you. Tell us what you're doing.
I'm getting baptized.
You're getting
this is actually my third time, but this will be my first time getting baptized after really getting saved. And actually, today, 2 years ago today, the Lord met me.
Wow.
July 27, 2023. Yeah.
Amen.
The Spirit has just been moving today. So I'm just like, I'm going to do it, man.
Come on. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Well, we're going to pray that this is, the third is the best.
Third is the best, yeah.
And amen. I love the story that this is your day of salvation. I love it when people can tell me, this is the day that I gave my heart to the Lord, and what a great day to do that. And you're right. The Spirit of God is here, and this is going to mark you forever, man. I'm praying for that. All right, come on, move up. We got to pray over my friend Kevin. I'm going to take this hand, put it over your nose so I don't get it. Take this hand, put it here. Lord, I just pray right now. Lord, you said, as he said, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is here. And I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon Kevin. That, God, you touch him both physically, emotionally, Lord. That you propel him to new and great things that you have for his life, Lord Jesus. That, God, you're going to use him to increase your name and to make your name famous. And so I pray that your spirit would dwell inside of him, and that this baptism, Lord, would not just be another time, but God, it would be a marked difference in his ministry, in his life, in his talents, in his giftings, and that you're going to use him in such a powerful and mighty way. And I pray that over his life right now, in the name of Jesus, we all said, come on, amen, amen, amen. Man, Kevin, on the confession of your faith in Jesus and all that you know he wants to do in your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come on. Woo-hoo! Amen. Amen. We're going to lead out in a song in just a minute, but then you'll be dismissed. Don't forget to stay around. We have lunch. Come on, if you haven't grabbed your lunch, run and grab something, come back. We got plenty of time. We got food trucks. We want you to enjoy just hanging out in church. Let's spend some extra time together. We're even out a little earlier. All right, so you're good. You got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. If you need prayer today, go find a corner here. Get prayer. We want to pray with you. We got a team that wants to pray with you. Just anything you need. Finally, last thing, if you're a family member or friend, you want to take a picture with your people that got baptized, we have a room right across here that has a backdrop, and you can commemorate this moment. But man, we're so excited what God's done. Would you just stand with me one last time? Let me pray, and then Pastor Samuel lead us. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we've had to be together. Lord, we walk with you today in obedience, trusting, believing that you have good things for us, Lord Father. Lord, break the cycles that many of us are on today, but yet give us the faith to walk the circle, even when it doesn't make sense. Thank you for those that are baptized today. May your face shine upon them and use them richly. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.